Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
Welcome back to The Clean Slate Podcast. I'm Carson Phillips here with Daniel Garza, as always. And today, or tonight, depending when you're listening. For us, it's tonight. Tonight. We will be talking about three A24 films because it is A24 April.
Wow, my voice cracked.
Which, for those of you not in the know, is a pretentious film bro company that's just really good at buying movies, essentially.
Yeah. But
yeah, so we're fanboys.
We are.
I'll admit it.
We're wearing our A24 gear right now.
Oh, I actually forgot.
I'm not going to go put mine on.
No. Next episode.
All right, cool, guys. So we have three really cool movies coming up. Oh, by the way, our merch is in. And if you haven't received it yet, you will be receiving it shortly for Monster Madness. And it's really cool. I know we are past March. Guys, wow. We are so thankful. The merch turned out really, really nice. And I hope you enjoy it.
The hats are sick.
The hats are dope. Yeah, Carson's wearing it right now.
So here's what I'm going to say.
What's up?
If you guys still want a hat and we get enough of you that are interested, maybe we'll make another order.
Ooh.
You guys are missing out. Not as many of you ordered hats, and I think you missed out on the best piece of merch you could have.
That's true. Yeah, the hats are really clean, so I'm really stoked about that. Also, shout out to Heather for designing all that. But let's jump right in to our A24 selection that we have chosen for today. So we have Enemy, Under the Skin, and First Reformed. So let's start off with Enemy. I think it'll be, this is my watching order that I did it.
It's pretty close to mine, actually, because I did Enemy, half of Under the Silver Lake, which is another episode that we're doing, and then I did First Reformed and then Beneath the Skin.
Yeah.
Or Under the Skin.
Yeah, Under the Skin.
Under the Silver Lake.
Under the Silver Lake's First Reformed Skin.
Under the Foreskin.
Okay, here's the logline for Enemy. A man seeks out his exact lookalike after spotting him in a movie.
I've been there.
Yep, we've all found our doppelganger on...
Catch me on Hacks Season 3 in the background at the airport. All American Season 6. Check it out. I don't think I should be talking about this, actually.
Anyway, so this movie directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve,
starring Jake Gyllenhaal, who plays a double role in this, Adam and Anthony. We have Melanie Laurent, Sarah Gadon, Isabella Rossellini. Yeah, all these other people are just kind of like not really well known.
I think the one wife is a French actress.
Yes.
Right? I feel like. Okay.
So her name is probably like Melanie Laurent, something like that.
It's really mainly Jake's movie.
Yeah, pretty much. So, Carson, why don't you give
him a little
bit of a breakdown, if you can. Actually, guys, there is going to be severe spoilers in this, just because it is a really well-thought-out movie, and we kind of have to discuss it in detail. So, with that being said, take it away.
Yeah, so there's really some layers to this movie, and I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, there will be some spoilers. Essentially... this kind of like everyday guy, he's like an everyman, even though he's a professor, he's still like pretty average person. He finds his doppelganger and begins the, you might want to say, dumb choice to reach out to him, which sends both of their lives into a spiral. They start interacting with each other, and there's kind of like this weird like relationship swapping thing that may or may not have happened. And yeah, things just go out of control from there, and you just kind of see their two lives kind of flip on their heads there, and it's not exactly that. That's just how it appears when you watch it, but something else is going on, which is indicated by a weird jump scare at the end of the movie that did probably scared me more than any horror film I've seen.
I know.
On this podcast, really, actually. Though. I literally jumped.
Did you really?
I genuinely jumped. I'm not even scared of
I guess I did jump a little bit, but I was more like, whoa. Like, I just kind of like...
I was glad they brought it back because they do... Okay, guys, there's a giant spider.
Yeah, this is the attack of the giant spiders. Also, Slender Man.
But there's also
a... top. It looks like Slender Man.
Well, there was a giant spider on top of the city at one point, and I remember watching, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? And then it ties together in like this kind of like... metaphysical subconscious kind of level. So it is kind of like a dream state movie is the best way
that's
to put it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, not everything you see is happening. Like, some of it's made up, I guess.
In
or
a
like,
subconscious state.
Yeah. Like, obviously some of the events are happening. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's really, really fascinating stuff. It's a good character study. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal kills it in this one.
Yeah. So let's get into likes and dislikes. If you guys are confused about what we just explained, that's okay. We were too when we
just
were
you have
watching.
To watch it. It's on Cinemark or Cinemax.
Yeah, Cinemax.
Is that what it's
and
called?
Then I guess it wasn't on.
I did the free trial. I just did the free trial for this one.
Oh, weird. What did I watch
Cinemax.
It on then?
You probably pirated it.
I probably did. No, I pirated First Reformed, but I think this was on Max. No. Oh wait. No, I own this movie. I own Enemy.
Oh, you own this. Interesting. This is kind of okay. Before we get into likes and dislikes, I feel like this was a big propeller for Denis' career, as well as A24 as like this name that you started to know. Like, obviously, this movie's pretty like low key. Like, there's nothing really too crazy going on in it as far as like money.
Goes. Yeah, exactly.
Back when they were still felt a little bit more indie of a production house. Yeah, so this was like a big start for the
company.
Yeah,
and for those of you who don't know, Denis Villeneuve is Dune
Part 1 and 2.
Part 1 and 2, Blade Runner, Arrival, Sicario, Prisoners. Mm-hmm. I mean,
was this before or after Prisoners?
This was the same year as Prisoners. IMDb slated it, though, after Prisoners. So I think Prisoners...
I wonder if it was filmed before.
Prisoners came first.
Good for him.
Yeah, but this is just, I mean, oh, wow. It is so complex. And even when I was watching it, I was like, what in the world is happening in this movie? Like,
it's like a weird philosophy class movie.
And what's his name? Denis kind of just goes in and talks about how, like, this is a biography.
You watched the interview too?
Yeah, of like the subconscious of him or Jake Gyllenhaal. And he's like, it's the battle that...
He's so charismatic, dude.
But like,
I love watching... I don't know if it's the accent. Yeah, I don't know. But I really like watching him.
Yeah.
But
this movie, I will admit, I had to look up and just be like, what does this mean? And once you kind of pick it apart for like in a way of like looking at the themes and the symbolisms and all of that sort,
it makes
perfect sense. You're like, oh, okay. So the big plot twist is that, big spoiler here, Adam and Anthony, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, are the exact same person. And
same character.
It's really a battle of the mind rather than him searching out a lookalike. And it's really cool because they explore like the battle within in a really weird way. But then at the same time, they add the themes of like the spiders, which is what makes it so A24-y.
Yeah.
Is like, because
it's really
you don't necessarily use giant spiders as a form of feeling like trapped or feeling. One thing actually I did hear was like that a spider will eat its spouse and
or husband whatever. Or whatever. Spider husband. Well, that's interesting too though, is cause like they kinda well at the beginning, what's the actor Jake Gyllenhaal character's
Which one?
Name? Is it Anthony?
Oh, the actor?
Is he
the
one
the actor is Anthony.
So he goes to like this sex club thing where they're like women are killing spiders.
It's like whatever fantasy
also,
these
like,
guys have, the women play it out for them.
Yeah. But then at the end, they kind of twist that to be like, oh, he started to view his wife like in a loving way instead of an objectified way. But then like as soon as he decides to go back to this like sex club, he goes in and sees her as this giant spider. So he's beginning to objectify, I guess, women and his wife again. He's starting to go down this other, like, the bad thought process that he just literally fought himself
and,
over.
And that's kind of like what's
really interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I think the most interesting part is. At the beginning, we get Professor Adam, who is also Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. He talks about the repetition of life and how, you know, the first time is, what is it? The first time is an accident, and the second time is a farce. And
the second time is
something of that sort. And it,
which is literally what the movie is.
Yeah, no, and it pretty much just
and the
that's
first
the
line
theme of the entire movie is that he is in this consistent circular battle within his mind of wanting to be faithful to his wife and wanting to be faithful to his new child that's going to be born. But at the same time, he struggles with objectifying all these women. He's like constantly looking at women, different things like that. So I think it was a new take on a battle within the mind.
Yeah, it was cool. I think, I mean, I doubt he'll do another film like this.
Yeah, he's too
but
big
I
now.
Do really, yeah, but I do really respect that his work continues to have like these deep conversations. Like, if you want to, the space is there for you to have a conversation that could actually like impact your life, even if you wanted it to. Like, it's not just like entertainment. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, the best quote and is "Chaos is order yet undeciphered." I love
yeah,
that.
That's like the first quote in the
I
whole
love
thing.
It so
and
much.
It makes sense. It's really, really excellent filmmaking. I will say, so I guess we just kind of said how much we love it. I guess those are our likes.
Yeah.
But I do have one gripe. Okay. And it's minor, but it was enough to bring it down a little bit for me. And I know. I just wish I cared for the two Jakes a little bit more as characters. I didn't, to be honest. Which is fine. That's not always something you need. But in this case, I feel like it needed a little bit. And that's something
like
I actually have noticed about
Denise. A little sympathy
Denise.
For the characters, maybe? Like a weak spot?
Just a little bit more. Yeah, something. That's kind of like an attribute of his filmmaking, though. I don't always care about his characters too much, to be honest. But that's another discussion.
In Dune Part 2, you care about Zendaya a lot.
In Dune Part 2, but like Part 1, I don't care about any of those
characters.
Okay,
but in Prisoners,
much.
Hugh Jackman, I mean, the whole thing is sympathy for Hugh Jackman.
That's true. So maybe, I don't know.
Sorry, I'm just poking
maybe it's
holes
just
in
like
all
this
of
one
it.
In Blade Runner. No, you're fine. I'm agreeing with you. It's a good discussion. I don't know. This one, I do wish I cared more for the characters.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really necessarily have many dislikes. I was just so unprepared going into this movie. And I know that my brother told
no
me about
this
movie.
Was.
Like, it had to be a year or two ago, and he's like, dude, you have to watch Enemy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I own it. I just haven't seen it yet. And he's like, no, I watched it on your account. And I'm like, oh, okay. And
wow.
I never had checked it out.
I was low-key expecting Prisoners.
Or I was expecting some sort of, like, I'm going to come and kill you. Or actually, I was expecting, like, Adam, because Adam's this lonely professor. I was expecting him to go kill Anthony and then take on Anthony's
do
life.
Do some creepy
and,
crap.
Yeah, do some weird things. So that's what I was expecting. But it was just... So I think...
Because Jake loves those roles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those, like, freaks.
Yeah, and so, like, yeah, nocturnal animals, stuff like that. Like, he...
Nightcrawler.
Yeah, he plays that stuff all day. So I was very disturbed throughout this whole movie just because I was like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
But then upon, like, looking at it deeper and listening to what Denis has to say about the whole thing, I'm like, whoa, like there's some intricate thought behind everything.
Yeah,
so I don't have
it deserves a rewatch
for sure. I don't really have any gripes about it besides I came in with the wrong expectation. All right, so Under the Skin is directed by Jonathan Glazer. It is starring Scarlett Johansson, and here is the logline for it. A mysterious young woman seduces lonely men in the evening hours in Scotland. However, events lead her to begin a process of self-discovery.
Boo. Barely. I'm sorry. This movie actually, like, annoys me. But I do want to say, Glazer just had a pretty big Oscars worthy hit with Zone of Interest. Thank you. Yeah, so we got two big Oscar boys making their appearance
here. Big time. All right, give him a little rundown of this sex movie.
It's not, okay.
Or
I mean,
just
yes,
like
but
tease movie.
That's a little reductive, just a little bit reductive. But yeah, so this is essentially Jennifer's Body, but boring.
Jennifer's Body is boring.
No, that's a better movie. No, it's such not a better movie.
They're both equally
bad. It's so much more fun. That's crazy. Okay. Essentially, we get this weird kind of like mystic setup where you see Scar Jo becoming Scar Jo. There's two of her, and one has clothes and one doesn't. So she steals the other her's clothes, and she starts kind of going around the countryside in this white van like all the creepy dudes usually do, except for she's a woman. And creepy dudes approach her van, and every now and then she convinces them to come into, like, the back rooms, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, this weird liminal space, and she tricks them to be going into some kind of goo thing, which they think at first is, like, some kind of a sexual experience. Yeah. But in reality, they're being harvested. I think I read this somewhere that their organs and stuff are being, like, sold, like, given to aliens to eat. I don't know. And they don't tell you anything in the movie, so that could be whatever you want, yeah. I guess. But yeah, so that's the movie. The plot does kind of kick in a little bit when she learns to love and maybe doesn't want to kill a human for once. That's it, though. I mean, there's some like major segments of like who she interacts with human wise. Like she interacts with a couple who's drowning. That's kind of this really interesting,
most disturbing thing ever.
Effective. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably like the best part of the movie. But yeah, so there's some really cool moments, but in between that, there's just a whole lot of
nothing, like prowling.
But really cool visuals. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, likes and dislikes. Likes, I'll go with, I loved the cinematography of it. I think that it was really cool. Because you can tell that this is so low budget, but the way that, I mean, A24 is known for being low budget, but making like, they're like the better Blumhouse, but art house so they
close enough,
they do a really good job in that regard, but it's just like, it's the visuals. People I know rave about the soundtrack, and I get why they do.
I like the soundtrack a lot.
I get why they do, just because it like has the like, it pretty much dictates.
I use
the emotions.
Soundtrack when writing my thesis.
Oh my god. What the heck.
Yeah, I would listen to it on repeat with my roommate.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it was a crazy vibe.
Yeah, so I don't know if I love the message here of like,
okay. What would you say the message is? I'm curious.
I don't want to
say it. I mean, I think we might disagree with the message is even.
Okay.
Cuz I don't think there is
one. Okay. So I think I genuinely think it's kind of like a belief in humanity. Like the alien comes down and harks on all what the
and learns to be
well,
human.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, sure. Yeah, learns to be human, takes on the form of human, but then preys on these. Like, I mean, we hear this story all the time. Even like War of the Worlds, like they thought that the humans were weaker or whatever, like, you know, they didn't see the good in humanity. And finally, like, that's...
They learn to love us.
It's kind of restored. You take pity on us. And then all of a sudden, in her case, though, she goes back to discovering the disgust. To me, there are very clear signs of her having remorse and guilt and trying to become human. Mainly because, right, she... Every single man...
Has sex.
No, every single man gets killed. But then she meets the man with the deformities. Yeah. It doesn't show her.
He does
get killed, but not by her. She doesn't, like, it doesn't show her taking pity on him, but she clearly doesn't kill him. And then there is the fly trapped in the window pane, which is kind of a huge thing.
Good catch.
In that regard. And then she leaves it all. Like, she goes on the bus, that guy takes her in. Or she goes to the restaurant. She tries eating real food. She realizes that
she gets sick.
The guy takes her in. She starts learning the ways of like listening to music because that guy was like moving to the music. She starts trying to tap her finger. She watches the comedy show that he puts on for her. So there.
Well, you literally see a scene where she gets more comfortable in her human skin. Like she's like looking at herself, like looking at her neck, and like observing herself, like thinking, like, oh, maybe I can be a human. Maybe I'm not this monster.
Right.
Which is interesting.
So. But I think the elements are there of her like trying to become human, but I think in the end it ends up being humans are inevitably bad. Flawed. Like there are some,
I kind of feel like
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I feel like she runs away from the guy who was helping her and like being kind to her. And I feel like there should have been maybe more of a conflict between them two instead of just a random dude in the woods in the end, if you're going to do that.
Well, I think...
Yeah, it just doesn't...
I think at that point, all connect that's for the me point the way where she realizes, like, she isn't human, right? Because the whole character arc, if we can talk about character arcs with a sexualizing alien, is the whole character arc is her... like doing all this, taking pity on that one guy, that other guy takes her in. She's trying to do all the human things to the point where she's about to have sex with him. She realizes it's not, she's not human. And so she runs away because she won't actually ever be what these people are. And then that's where the kind of rebirth of people being flawed again through that one guy. And then she ends up, I at least think that when that bad thing is happening to her, and her
there's a big trigger warning for this movie.
Well, there's a lot.
I'll give you the list real quick. There's a lot of sexual content. There's a lot of SA situations potentially, if any of that's triggering for you. There's stuff with babies at one point.
So sad.
So if any of that is triggering to you, there's motorcycles. Just be careful.
Yep, there's pie or cake.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of like weirdness in this movie, and it just has an unsettling vibe in general.
So I think that's what the character arc is: she realizes maybe she tries to be human, but then she can't, so she runs away. She ends up in a situation, and then all of a sudden, the final realization that she won't actually ever be human is her skin falls off, and she is the alien in her.
She's just a woman in blackface.
Stop.
That's what it looked like, dude. I was like, is this the alien design, guys? Come on.
It looked like a demon, honestly. It looked like Doja Cat.
Yeah, I could see that. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy to say.
No, on that one... on that one album she
had. I'm going to be honest. Uh-huh. I didn't love this movie. I thought the soundtrack was cool, like you were saying. I mean, there is pieces of a cool story. Like us breaking it down makes me enjoy aspects of it more. But... for me, really, it just doesn't tie together the way I think it should. And even though that may be the message, I think there's a better way to tell that story. Maybe a different filmmaker could tell that story. This doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like movies sometimes where nothing happens. Like Ghost Story is one of my favorite movies. Movie. And like I feel like nothing happens in that movie. But in this, I feel like it's even more nothing. Like, I don't know. And it is visually stunning. It's just I don't feel anything in the nothingness. And maybe that is the point. Maybe it's supposed to make you feel lonely, which I could see being a pretentious answer to that. But, yeah, it just doesn't work for me. I'd rather watch Jennifer's Body. ScarJo's great in this, though. She's, like, really creepy.
Yeah, she does play it really well. I do agree with you to an extent. I think, for me, this was a better character arc movie than technically Enemy. Hold on. It's an easier character arc movie than Enemy. I like Enemy more.
Less hoops to jump through.
Yes. Because it kind of, for me, it felt like it was spoon fed to me, and it was like over trying to feed this like narrative to me. But you're right. I wish there was a better way of doing it. I didn't necessarily love the way that they went about this because nothing is explained until kind of that. And it's not even explained. You're just kind of figuring it all out until the very end.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is, I guess. And so, I definitely didn't enjoy this movie. I would probably give it about a 5-6 out of 10. Not my alley.
Yeah, this was lower for me. You know what's funny is I was telling Alyssa about this. What I do now is about halfway through a movie, I rate it. And then about at the end, I re-rate it to see if it's changed from the halfway point, and this one went down. So yeah. I don't know what that says, but yeah, it's probably like 2.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Under the Skin. It's streaming on Max. You can rent it also anywhere. Not our cup of tea, yeah. But you know what is our cup of tea? First Reformed, Daddy. First Reformed is a really great movie. It has my arch nemesis in it, Ethan Hawke. But
Papa Hawk.
Stop.
I like him, dude. I really like, I know you hate him.
I definitely don't like Ethan Hawke. I thought this movie was going to be way worse than what it actually was. And it has such a weird ending that you're like, whoa. And it really kind of,
I looked it up to see what the director said. Yeah, me too. And that's interesting too. I was like, I kind of like what he says.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what did you look up?
I was like, what the hell is the ending of this movie?
Like what happened?
Did I miss something? And
yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, there's really two ways you can look at it. It's either, yeah, he did drink the Drano and then God talks to him for the first time since the beginning of the movie and is showing him what heaven's going to be like. Yeah. It's like a long kiss, yeah. Which is, I love that. Or a miracle happens and he's saved, which is also a cool
interesting
ending.
I like both. That's not what I heard from the director.
I have the quote right here.
Well, that's fine. I heard the one thing that was saying, like, the end of this movie is inevitably what you think it will be. That's what I heard.
That's still the same, though. That is the same answer.
It's not. It's that he goes through with the whole thing. Okay, we're jumping the gun here. Let's set it up for everybody.
I honestly don't know if the ending even matters that much, to be honest.
It doesn't. It's traumatizing, though. So there are trigger warnings here in all this movie. There's suicide in this. There's cancer.
Self-harm. Yeah. Major self-harm. There's really the suicide's graphic.
Yeah, and then there's like potential terrorist.
No sexual content, technically.
Well, kind of. I mean, yeah, I guess it depends on what you define as sexual, but yes, correct. All right.
No nudity.
So let's talk about Ethan Hawke and Amanda Seyfried's First Reformed. A minister of a small congregation in upstate New York grapples with mounting despair brought on by tragedy, worldly concerns, and tormented past.
Great.
Okay, give him a little rundown.
I don't know if a log line does this
no,
justice.
No, it definitely yeah. doesn't.
So this is from director Paul Schrader. You might be familiar with his work on some of Scorsese's films, such as Taxi Driver. Mm-hmm. He wrote Taxi Driver. This is very, hear me out, weirdly similar to Taxi Driver. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't need to get
into
that.
Yeah, that's what I definitely weirdly heard similar. Is that this is just Christian Taxi Driver.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, though. But essentially, yeah, we're introduced to Ethan Hawke. He is they call him Reverend. He's kind of feels more priestly in this than like a typical evangelical pastor. I don't know what denomination they're supposed to be, yeah. But he's just kind of going through his pastorly duties, and you're introduced to a couple who are super into environmentalism, like you would say on the extreme end of that spectrum. But this is something that Ethan Hawke's character's never thought about before, and it kind of does inspire him to look into the issue a little bit more while also trying to convince this couple to maybe tone it down a little bit. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. There's purpose in this world. There's hope beyond the despair. And unfortunately, this is a spoiler, the husband in that scenario does kill himself, and that kind of unravels this whole like world, and things start to spiral out of control for Ethan Hawke. Yeah. And he's getting more and more extreme, but he's also suffering from cancer and his church building's run down. There's some politicalness going on, and essentially it sets us up for like a really good conversations throughout the movie. That's like almost what the movie is like this fun little playground for like philosophical and theological conversations that is worth watching.
Sure.
So I do highly recommend it.
For sure. Biggest quote in this movie is, "Can God forgive us for what we did to the earth?"
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie is a huge narrative on faith and testing your your beliefs, because he kind of comes into this whole thing. We're kind of getting philosophical about it again.
I love this movie. I don't have any dislikes. I'm gonna be honest.
I definitely do. Mine is Ethan Hawke, but
I know. But is that it? Because there's nothing else wrong with this
the beginning
movie.
Of this movie is pretty slow. I will say that
it is slow.
But the unraveling part is
kind of thrillery almost. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my only thing. But the husband who is, I guess, battling with living and what's happening in the earth, like, right? So Amanda Seyfried
bringing a child into the world.
Amanda Seyfried is pregnant. It's also his wife, and he's really like, I don't want this. Like, how can you raise a child in this type of environment? So his name is Michael. Amanda's name is Mary. And they kind of get to this point where, like, they discover something about him that is very, like, shocking, that Michael had a suicide vest hidden.
Yeah.
And it's just because he is really, really upset with what these people are doing to the environment.
He wants to make a statement about it. Like, he wants to end his life and make a big statement about, like, look what you're doing to the environment.
Yeah, and so he partly, when he does end his life, he has, like, very specific things, like, that he asks for, like, his body be dumped, or his ashes be dumped in the, what is it, the...
like, toxic wasteland.
Yeah, the toxic wasteland thing. They played this...
Okay. You know what's funny about that is, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say they sing that song about environmentalism.
Oh, like environmentalist song? Yeah, it was pretty funny. It's like dark
it really is.
Mode for a second there. But the it's funny how that, like, is very clearly like this toxic area.
Yeah.
But then later when they're talking to, like, that business guy, and he's like, it was already cleared. It's not even toxic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro.
You weren't there.
Like, it's pretty ugly looking. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I agree. So then it just becomes this battle within Ethan Hawke. Like, he never really thought about this before, because Michael poses this question of, will God forgive us after what we've done to the earth? And I think the whole posing of the question is, as Christians, should we be the biggest backers of, you know, taking care of the planet, because it's God's creation? And and it really spins Ethan Hawke for the rest of the movie, because now he's like, he dives into what Michael was diving into, and then now he's in almost the same position as Michael, and he struggles the same thing. Ethan Hawke also struggles with a past relationship. I think her name's
his son, who's,
well, yes, he had a son who died in the military. There is also that one church member Esther.
She's another church member,
and I believe that they had past relationship, and now he just, like, sees her as a stumbling block and something that's in the way of him being able to perform his duties.
When he blows up on her, that was
insane. I was like, Esther didn't deserve that. She, like, genuinely cares.
It was
a good
scene,
though.
Made me
hate Ethan Hawke more.
I liked that. Well, I think what's interesting too, like, this goes beyond the whole, like, environmental aspect of this, is, like, you see, like, he's clearly getting worn down, like, as a pastor. His church building's getting worn down. He's refusing help for himself and for the church building. Yep. And just as, like, maybe humans as general are kind of, like, not helping the environment always. Yep. So you see all these different layers of, like, what he's struggling with. And obviously he gets kind of pushed towards this extreme end of the spectrum while ignoring the other things in his life that are falling apart. Like, it's like the pursuit of extremism over, like, actually taking care of something, like, actually doing something worthwhile. There's a lot to talk about there. And then obviously, like, doubting faith and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the biggest things too, that is, like, the coolest thing that I don't think is actually given enough credit, is the, even just design of the sets and everything like that. You can see it clearly is, like, a little bit of a brighter, like, there's snow, there's all these different things.
Yeah.
But as the movie progresses, it gets darker and darker, and you can see the change in Ethan Hawke, to where at the end of the movie, he's wearing completely all black, and
even his skin looks, like,
grayish.
Yeah,
exactly. And Amanda Seyfried is in completely all white, and it kind of shows the juxtaposition that they're in of her becoming more accepting of what has happened, and Ethan Hawke just being kind of, like, overtaken by this thought
the darkness
and
yeah.
giving up on kind of his faith in that way.
It's kind of a unique way to like humanize. Like, I mean, I guess humans, we tend to like lift up our leaders a little bit higher than they need sure. to be at times. And that goes to like pastors and stuff. Like we think like, man, they're this holy man. Of course he's not having these dark, deep struggles. He's not drinking Drano on the weekends,
right.
you know? So it does a good job of showing like he's still doing his best at his job. At least he thinks is his yeah. best, while it humanizes him, and I guess in a way, and like shows his struggle, which I think is really cool. And then I loved his conversations with he's like the head pastor.
Yeah,
of like
Cedric the Entertainer
program or something.
Reverend Joel Jeffers.
Yeah, they have like really great conversations, and you just see like this struggle between like maintaining an organization, but also being like the shepherd to another pastor, and all that stuff just works really well. Like these interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
Just to kind of build up this tension at the end.
Yeah, and I think at the very end, they're celebrating, what, 250 years of being a church.
For that specific
church,
and
this church
yeah.
was, like, very essential to protecting the slaves.
Underground Railroad
yeah.
stuff.
And mm-hmm. and so this is where Ethan Hawke goes to really kind of, like, share his, you know...
message.
Yeah, and his message is, you know...
And that big polluter guy who supposedly like really
yeah.
cares about the environment is there, but he's like kind of despicable. Like they make him despicable pretty early
oh, yeah.
on. So he's there. And apparently he's got his, you know, little hooks in the church too. Which
yeah.
is,
so the movie ends in such
surprising.
A crazy way. And crazy, when I say crazy, I mean like it doesn't
literally crazy.
It doesn't end that
it's crazy.
Crazy, but it's left up to your thought.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I guess that is crazy.
There's like one moment of craziness in the middle that I think does prepare you for like a more absurd ending.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not like out of left field, but it is still, it's a little dark too. Potentially hopeless ending or hopeful ending, depending who you ask, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, anyway, this movie I think was an 8 out of 10. I mean, once the movie got rolling, you're like, you're in it with Ethan Hawke, and you're kind of just like at a point to where it's like,
mm-hmm.
what is going to be the outcome of this movie? I don't know if I necessarily love the neo-noir or the noir vibes.
I like that it's kind of a noir
film.
It
is.
I made that argument to someone and they were like, nah, it's not. And I was like, it totally is. Like you can really see it.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure you can
just
see
at least
it.
In the narrative.
I just,
yeah.
I hate, The less Ethan Hawke, the better. The only couple of things too was like the noticeable CGI on like the buildings and different things like that. Like the Abundant Life and the.
There was a couple pieces here and there where I'm like, why does it look like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but I think
and actually that reminds me, an Enemy, that car crash scene looked whack.
Oh yeah, it did for sure.
That took me out of
yeah,
the movie.
It did.
But anyways,
it was
yeah.
a little bit too
low budget movies yeah. though, technically.
So I will give Ethan Hawke credit on this one. He plays a really good character.
Wow.
I still hate Ethan Hawke, just so that's clear. But there is a true battle within this character, and you are very like much kept on the edge of your seat. And I enjoyed it.
Do we just like this movie because we're Christians, or like, is this universal?
No,
think?
I think this is universal. This is a really good movie.
Okay.
So I'll give this an 8 out of 10.
I agree. I give it a 4.5 out of 5. I loved this movie. I think it doesn't give you answers. It asks a lot of good questions.
Yeah,
though.
That's a good way of putting it.
And those are my kind of movies. So I think you guys should all watch it. I think you're going to get a lot out of it.
Oh, interesting. This got a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 86 on Metacritic.
It sounds about right. I mean, I think Paul Schrader's a great writer. I want to watch more of his stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've seen the Scorsese stuff. But yeah.
Cool. Anyway, well, do you have any last thoughts on this? Or?
I mean, not really. I mean, I think all three of these movies are really cool. I think they all have something to say. Some say it better.
Yep.
And yeah, I recommend. Honestly, though, I don't think you'll be upset by any of them. Obviously, the first, okay, all three of them, strong content warnings.
Sure.
But I think First Reformed is probably the most watchable.
Yeah.
Knowing our audience. There's some dark, darker stuff in it, but I think our audience could handle it. I think you guys can do it.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for the first week of A24 April. Woohoo! We are cramming as much as we can of A24 in this month because we love A24.
Yeah.
But we are doing...
I watched four movies today for you guys, and we only talked about three of them, so...
I think for the, just specifically how we did this, I'm excited because we're not doing the horror movies of A24. We're doing like the deep thought ones, and I'm just excited for the rest of this month.
There might be a horror movie appearance in here, right? Is there? Did I just lie?
No, not really.
I honestly, you could argue these three movies are like horror films.
Oh yeah,
in a way.
Yes, in a way. Okay, guys. So next week we have a really odd combination of movies, but we're here for it. So Waves is a really great movie, and I'm excited to know your thoughts on Waves, Carson.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Under the Silver Lake is kind of a noir film.
I just watched it. I'm not gonna say anything. It is weird.
Okay. And then Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. That's something that Rebecca's been dying to watch. Cute. Since it's come out.
Kids movie. Yeah,
so I'm excited about that. And then we have Ex Machina, Room, and Uncut Gems, and
a guest.
We have our very first guest coming on to the podcast.
Sorry, Tony.
I'm sorry, Tony. Tony was our actual first guest, but that episode never got released. We would love to have Tony back on, though, right?
He said some crazy stuff, so we just had
to cut him out and postpone our podcast by 4 months.
It was cool.
If
to
we
get
can,
to know,
let's
so
try
to
sneak in Civil War in this.
Yeah, we're trying.
So anyway,
maybe in that episode though, I don't know.
One of these episodes, but this month, maybe that could be.
Yeah, we're gonna watch Civil War, guys.
So,
bonus.
Yeah, guys, we have a lot more in store for you. We have A24 merch coming out. No, could you imagine the Sioux?
Online ceramics already has that market. I think we're. We're a little done.
Anyway, so guys, we hope you liked these picks. Let us know your favorite A24 films. And also, thank you again to all of you who bought our merch. We know that it is difficult, and our merch is not cheap, but we appreciate the support.
It's quality, though.
It's quality, for sure. But we definitely appreciate everything that you guys do for us just by listening, buying our merch, and really kind of supporting it. So thank you all to our audience, and we will see you next week for some more A24 movies.
That's a clean slate.